Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul speaks of 3 things that we are to arrive at. First is that we, the believers in Christ, arrive at the oneness of the faith. Then, number 2, we arrive at the full knowledge of the Son of God. And finally, we arrive at a full-grown man. Compare this now to verse 14, the very next verse, which says that we may be no longer little children, tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching in the sleight of men, in craftiness, with a view to a system of error. A big contrast, little children or babes, as some versions render it, or a full-grown man brought to the full knowledge of the Son of God. That's our topic today. Francis Ball has joined us again. Francis, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. I think we're in for a lot of enlightenment today.
Francis, this notion of babes, some versions, some translations use the word infants or little children, is something that appears a lot in the New Testament. Paul, particularly in his writing, but not exclusively Paul, at least refers to the believers in various stages in the growth of life, and that becomes an important part of our discussion today, doesn't it?
Yes, this has a lot to do with what we're aiming at, what we want to arrive at. And the 3 things you just mentioned about what is in chapter 4 of Ephesians, that we arrive at these things shows a very rich kind of development.
Right.
That we're growing somewhere, we're moving on.
I made a note of a couple of other verses in the New Testament where Paul uses similar terms, and these will be referred to, I think, in the program today. Maybe I'll read those. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "And I, brothers, was not able to speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to fleshy, as to infants in Christ." Same word there. Also in 1 Corinthians in 13, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child. Since I have become a man, I have done away with childish things," or toys, as Witness Lee referred in a program recently. And then one final reference in Hebrews chapter 5, "For everyone who partakes of milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, for he is an infant." And here the apostle, in all of these cases, in all of the contexts mentioned here, Francis, I think is really all the time encouraging us not to be satisfied, not stay where we are, not to be occupied just with these babyish things, but really to be brought on to another level of maturity, isn't he?
Yes, Paul is really using his own experience as an illustration of that, that when he was a child, he thought as a child and so on. I think we can all identify with that. We certainly want to grow up. We certainly want to, it's not a matter we want to get old. We want to get matured.
Right.
We want to grow up and arrive at a goal.
And that goal, once again, is at the oneness of the faith, the full knowledge of the Son of God, and at a full-grown man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our topic today. Let's join Witness Lee with the first portion of his fellowship.
Ephesians 4:14 is the continuation of the foregoing verse. To arrive at those 3 things has a purpose, and the purpose is that we may be no longer babes. We Christians in our first stage of life are babes, tossed by waves. This implies that we are on the sea, right? Our Christian walk is a journey on the water, tossed by waves and carried about by every wind. And this also indicates we are not only on the water, but also quite often under a kind of storm. No Christians should expect to have a safe journey. Waves, storms, not only came to individuals, a number of times, they just came to the church. If you read the context, you could say waves, wind, all these are just teachings, doctrines, concepts, opinions. At Paul's time, some Judaizers taught the Old Testament in a very enticing way. They could point out from some of the verses certain doctrines, certain things ordained by God. It's hard for the babes in Christ to discern that those nice teachings are subtle. The principle today is the same. Today, you have too many doctrines. And all these good teachings, good doctrines, open the door for so many opinions, so many concepts to come in. Why today the Christians are so easy to be deceived? Why? Because Christians are too young. Christians are just babes. So the way to escape from waves and winds is only to grow. No other way. You have to grow in life.
Francis, the Apostle Paul is using this journey across the sea as a metaphor for our progress in the Christian life. And along the way, a lot of problems, waves, winds, storms, these kinds of things associated with travel across the sea. It's unfolded here in the context. It's clear that these problems, these things that are really problems to the babes, to the infants, are spiritual things. Teachings, doctrines, opinions on scriptural or biblical issues. Why is this the context of this problem?
Well, in the Christian life, we shouldn't expect that everything is going to be easy and without any difficulties. But there's a lot of difference between difficulties and tragedies and things like that and what is depicted here as waves and winds. And waves and winds are the doctrines, the opinions, and the teachings that distract people away from the growth in life. The thing that is so prevailing here in verse 13, all these things require some growth in life. We're trying to arrive at something, a oneness of the faith and of the full-grown man. These are the evidences that what we need is more life. We need to grow in life. And by life, we mean the divine life with which we were born again. But all Christians have their beginning as babes.
Sure.
But so many Christians are held in that infant stage or that baby stage. But the Apostle Paul is really urging us to go on, to grow. That means we grow not just by knowledge, we grow by life. Life is the real solution for our reaching the goals. There's no other way.
You know, as we have looked at these verses previous to verse 14 in chapter 4 in their context, it's interesting that connecting all of this, the evidence, the sign that the believers are still immature, still in this infancy stage, is that the oneness is a problem. And that is not what we commonly think of as evidence of spiritual immaturity, is it? A problem with the oneness. But yet that's the context here, and I think that's why he identifies these doctrinal differences and issues related to teachings and how we understand and how we practice that cause divisions in the body of Christ. And what Paul's really saying here, I believe, Francis, isn't it, that this is the evidence that you are still babes, you're still infants. It's time to grow up.
Absolutely. The hardest thing is for even little children to really be one with one another.
Right.
That's mine. Get your hands off of my toy. And things like this. And Christians act the same way about spiritual things. They see something and that becomes their treasure, but they cannot be one with others. So there's a real need for this oneness to be arrived at, as the apostle brings out here, for us to arrive at the oneness of the faith. We need, first of all, to know how to keep the oneness of the Spirit that's in the beginning of this chapter.
Right.
We have that oneness because we've been born of God. But how to keep it, that requires the growth in life. And to arrive at the oneness of the faith means that we're growing in life. And to arrive at the full-grown man means we're growing in life, just like human beings. We are going to grow, we arrive at a certain goal, and that we want to grow up to be a full-grown man. And, of course, this really has reference to the church.
Right.
Because we're growing up to be one full-grown man. That's God's goal.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the church, as a kind of a safeguard, is also the goal, is what will be brought out in this next segment. Verse 13 says, until we all arrive, and then the phrase at the end of the verse is important, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So until we all arrive at the stature of the fullness of Christ. Back in chapter 1, verse 23, we saw this phrase, fullness, again.
That's right.
And there it says, the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. So clearly, the church is implicated here in Ephesians chapter 4 by referring back to chapter 1. And that's important. And I think that'll be brought out very clearly in this next portion. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
If you read the context of this verse, verse 14, you could see the safeguard, the test for you to find out the deceit is just Christ and the church. Christ and the church. You have to know the purpose of the subtle enemy is just to distract the saints from Christ and the church. Don't think just scriptural teaching would be safe for you to take. Satan could use the Bible. You know, when the devil tempted the Lord Jesus in the wilderness, even the devil used the verses, and from the same book, we have to know Satan can use everything. As long as he can distract you from Christ and the church, he'll do it. He'll do it. Nothing is your safeguard but Christ with the church. Any teaching that cannot pass the test of Christ and the church, you shouldn't take it. Regardless how scriptural it would be, as long as it distracts you from Christ and the church, that is something wrong. Sometimes Satan is so subtle in such a way that he pretends to help you. Yet when you take it, your appetite for the church is nullified. And the desire for you to come to meetings is nearly gone. You just don't care for the church testimony. Not only so, even you would lose your appetite for Christ. And you become so far away from the Lord, yet without any consciousness. This is the most subtle teaching. I repeat, the way for us to escape this kind of winds is to grow. Yet, we all have to realize we could not grow overnight. We need the safeguard, the protection, the covering of the church. Always put your trust in the Lord and in the church.
Francis, as you said, since all of us are children of God in life, that means we begin, and we can't help but begin, as babes, as infants. And these kinds of things, the winds and the storms and waves, really have the greatest impact on the infants, on the small children. It seems almost there's no way out. We have to go through this stage where we're going to be tossed about. But I appreciated that was the light in which he brings up the church and the Lord together in this context as a kind of safeguard while we're growing, while we're maturing. We still have a safeguard, don't we?
Yes, we do. And one of the safeguards is not only to realize that we are babes and not be so easily attracted by waves and being carried about. Babes like to be carried about. Mm-hmm. And they like to have something kind of exciting. And that kind of thing causes the enemy to have a ground to come in and give us some exciting teaching. I don't know how many times Brother Lee used in this message that he spoke on this chapter the word teaching. and the danger of teachings. And this brings up a lot of opinions and causes saints to be separated and divided from one another. And also it spoils the oneness that we're aiming at. And it stops the growth that we need. So we need to have some safeguard. Of course, anything that distracts us from Christ, we want to reject. Even the good teachings may distract us from Christ, and this applies also to the church, which is the body of Christ.
Right.
So the protection we have is both Christ and the church. We don't mean just anyone that calls himself a church, but what is the church? The church is the body of Christ. And that's a safeguard when we are really in the oneness of the body and we're safeguarded by the church. We're also being cared for while we're growing by those that have grown ahead of us, and they become the more mature ones in the church, and they're a help to our being safeguarded from these winds and things that would carry us away to a system of error. So I feel the relationship between Christ and the church here is quite important. This is our safeguard from being carried away to some kind of system that would rob us of the enjoyment of Christ and of the experience of the church.
You've been, I know, a Christian for many years, and no doubt you've met a lot of believers along the way. Maybe oftentimes it's easy for believers to get distracted, even from Christ himself, by a good teaching or a new practice or a new wind that blows through the congregation and sweeps everyone up. This is really implied in this warning that Paul is giving us, isn't it?
Yes, that is one of the warnings. As little ones, infants, or babes, we are just easily attracted by something that excites us or draws us to a level of importance or something that really destroys our willingness to grow and to just be safeguarded by Christ and the church. So I think the main thing we are emphasizing on this program all the time is Christ and the church, the whole Christ.
Right.
And so even in this chapter, it's talking about arriving at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means Christ as the head and the body.
Yes.
So this is what we don't want to get distracted from. So even good teachings sometimes can be used by Satan in his subtlety to carry us away from this safeguard.
Yeah, this matter now of teaching has come up a number of times, as you said. Many times he referred to it. And a warning about teachings that can draw us or distract us from Christ and the church is his goal. But certainly teachings are an important part of the New Testament. So by that, we're not saying, nor was Paul saying, that no teaching had any value. But it's very, very important, the kind of teaching that Paul points us to, which he does in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Paul says, "Charge certain ones not to teach different things, nor to give heed to myths and unending genealogies which produce questionings, rather than God's economy, which is in faith." So the strong exhortation not to teach anything different from this one thing, God's economy. Let's find out about God's economy once again. Here's Witness Lee.
We must have such a clear vision that the New Testament economy, it's not for anything else, but just for dispensing Christ into the people for the building up of the churches. This is the New Testament economy. In any kind of teaching, regardless how scriptural, how fundamental, as long as it is distracting from Christ and the church, you must realize that is something as the slight of man. The slight is worse than the deceit. The deceit is just something false. But slight is not only something false, but something evil in certain plot. It is not just a lie. It is not just a deception. It is not just something false. It is something evil in certain plot and in craftiness. It's quite skillful. Craftiness means what? Full of skill. Then, with a view, that means for a purpose, to a system of error. Whole system, not man's system. The plot, apparently, is by man. But the system is the devil's. Satan's system. God's economy is to dispense the triune God into all of us that the church might be built up as the body of Christ. Satan hates this. So Satan comes in to use even some doctrines, good, fundamental, spiritual, these kind of doctrines as a plot in craftiness to carry people away. Eventually, people just will fall into the system of error. That is devilish. May the Lord show us the subtlety of the enemy, amen, that we may see the system of error is being practiced in this kind of teaching that distract people from Christ and the church life.
Francis, I like how he began that portion by saying we need a clear vision of what God's economy is. This verse we opened the program with, I don't know that we put enough emphasis on it, but he certainly did here in this last section. Verse 14, tossed about by every wind of teaching, in the sleight of men, in craftiness, with a view to a system of error. And you got the feeling, listening to his speaking, of a kind of a sinister plot, mm-hmm, you know, with craftiness, a very skillful usage of the Word of God to distract people. Of course, we're not talking about ministers and pastors directly intending to do so, but this is Satan's craftiness. This is Satan's plot. In that context, it is sinister, isn't it?
That is. And it would be very fitting for all of us who teach the Word of God or preach the gospel to be aware that Satan uses these kind of things, teachings and opinions and even spiritual things, even scriptural things, to distract us away from Christ and the church. I think we need to repeat again and again that the main thing in getting into the Word of God is to see God's economy, is to work himself into his chosen people for the producing of the body of Christ, which is the church, which is Christ himself. The new man, or the full-grown man,
right,
that we have in this verse. So this is systematically opposed by Satan's devices.
Yes.
Developing a system that will distract us away from Christ and the church.
And there is such a religious counterfeit system that sounds good, spiritual, all kinds of wonderful things that God must love and approve, except the problem is it distracts us from Christ and the building up of his church.
That's right. We don't want to be caught in this kind of system that will take us away from Christ and the church.
Francis, good to have you here for more fellowship on these points in Ephesians. Day by day, we seem to get our view expanded and calibrated very much by Paul's word and the way it's opened up in this ministry.
It's a big help.
And if you'd like to have more of this help for your own study and investigation and enjoyment of God's Word, we hope you'll contact us about getting these printed life study volumes, the Ephesians. Today for Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.